few months back, or I say a few months back, during March Missions Month, we had a missionary show up here at church and we went out to eat with him. And God had laid, through conversation with him at lunch, God had laid some stuff on my heart, which is where this sermon come from. Why? I'm sure a lot of you have had questions in your life about why for this God, or God, why about this, or God, why did this happen, or what have you. And so as I begin to stew over some of this stuff, God laid some stuff on my heart, and I'm going to share that with you today. So I'm going to read you a story to start off with. It says, by day two in the blazing Utah desert, Dave Bushow was in bad shape. Pale, wrecked by cramps, his speech was slurred. The 29-year-old New Jersey man was desperate for water, hallucinating so badly that he mistook a tree for a man. The sad part is Dave wasn't out in the wilderness by himself. It says, but Dave was no solitary soul, lost and alone in the desert. He and 11 other hikers from various walks of life were being led by expert guides on a wilderness survival adventure designed to test their physical and mental toughness. It says, and the guides, it turned out, were carrying emergency water on that hot summer day. Dave wasn't told that. He wasn't offered any. The guides did not want him to fail the course. They wanted him to dig deep, push beyond his known limits, and make it to the cave on his own. It was so needless. What a shame. It didn't have to happen, said Ray Gardner, the Garfield County Sheriff's deputy, who hiked 6 miles to recover Dave's body. He said this, he said, they had emergency water right there. I would have gave him a drink. Says that family members are angry. His brother says this, down in those canyons, it's a furnace. So Rob said, Rob, I don't have my brother anymore. No one would give him water. Why? That's where this sermon topic comes from. Why? Seems so senseless to have all these resources around him, to have the opportunity to live to see another day, for somebody in his life set there to guide him and direct him to be carrying the life-giving water, not to offer it to him, and for him to die in that desert. So why did the man die of dehydration? Here's one reason. Those with the resources told him he could do it and he should do it on his own. Because those intended to help him did not, he became deceived and looked for help in the trees. See, in that moment, he got become so deceived that he began to look to the trees for his help. Something to give him life. He was searching for anything and anyone to help him in that moment. Those that had the life-giving water, for whatever reason, didn't give it to him. See, the guides had all the knowledge and skills needed for survival, but they misunderstood their role. Senseless. Even after losing the ability to differentiate a tree from a man, nobody helped him. See, their knowledge without action was foolishness. Wisdom would have been acting on their knowledge. So this gets to the meat and taters of my sermon. I was telling Pastor Jeff and some others that last night, whenever I went to bed after studying, I've done a lot of studying this week. My wife walks in, she goes, that's a lot of notebooks sitting on your desk. I don't know how you're going to get all that in. So last night before bed, I sat down and I got to going over everything, trying to trim off some of the fat. And whenever I went to bed, I set my alarm on my phone and it said, 8 hours and 14 minutes till you get up. Let me tell you, by the time my head hit the pillow, I preached until that alarm went off. So, we will be out of here by at least 7:30. Why? Anybody ever asked that question? Anybody ever had a tragedy happen in their life? Maybe something senseless took place. Maybe somebody lost their life. And it was senseless. All the help they needed was right there and nobody offered that hand. And I hear that all the time. Why? Makes no sense why my brother's not here with me any longer. So as I begin to listen to this missionary talking about all we need to do, John and Pastor Jeff, all we need to do is show up. You've got everything that they need. All you need to do is show up. Why? Why do people die and go to hell every day? Every day within arm's reach of this church. Every day. You know, I did some study and I looked up some research and it said that 333 million people live in America. 333 million people. I wanted to know how many people are inside our churches on any given Sunday. It said 56 million people. 17% of Americans attend church today. That means there's 83% of Americans unchurched outside these walls. Why would they die and go to hell every day so close to the resources that they need? Then this is what I feel like that God gave me. He said, those sent to be their guides, leave them to do it on their own. Hey, look, they made that bed. They made their own bed, let them lie in it. Deception caused by a lack of living water. This is where that affirmation comes in. This song that we just sang, living water on my lips. Deception caused by a lack of living water. Their dehydration caused them to turn to trees for their help. How many of you know in America right now, in your community right now, there is such deception. Such deception going on that people are turning to anything and everything that they can to find their fulfillment. The only person that's going to help them out of that deception is Jesus Christ. Guess who has Jesus? Huh? You got Jesus? Raise your hand. Yep, you got the water. Those that have life-giving water fail to give it to them. So why? Why do those sent to be their guides leave them to do it on their own? This is what James 3 says, and this is why I believe it. This was the case for me in my life, for the biggest part of my life. It says this, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. This is important right here. By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Listen, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. That wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. You know why I didn't reach out to this world for the most of my life? It wasn't necessarily because I was scared or I didn't feel like God had a call on my life, because I knew ever since I was a young kid that I had a call on my life. It was because of this selfish ambition. Listen, God, I know that you want me to do this work now, but I've got other work I need to attend to. Listen, God, I know that you have things for me to do, and I know that people are dying and going to hell out there, God, but chill for just a minute. Maybe when I reach retirement age, God, I've got this goal that by 55 years old, I'll be fully retired and I'll go into full-time ministry for you. Oh, you know what? God, I hit 55. I've done my due diligence. I've done everything that I needed to do. Now it's somebody else's time to step in. I'm going to retire. I just heard that. Listen, as Christians, we can't let selfish ambitions get in the way of your heavenly destiny that God created us for. See, God had pre-made a destiny for you. Everybody in this place, if you're puffing air, you have a destiny. that God created a good work for you to do. See, I had a cousin, I preached a funeral this last week. My cousin was liked by everybody he come into contact with. He made everybody feel like they were his best friend, not just best friend, but a family member. And my cousin, his sister, brought back to my remembrance, he, all the way up until the last day, I say last day, maybe last weeks of his life or months or maybe even a year, he didn't live for Christ. He didn't fulfill that destiny. See, when he was younger, he felt called to be a minister. I didn't remember it, but they told me that he preached one time in his life. And when I found that out, there was this heartbreak inside of me. I was so joyous that my cousin got to make it to heaven because he did turn his heart back to God. But whenever I realized the fulfillment that he lost out on, because he didn't fulfill that calling on his life, it broke my heart. And I'm here to tell you, everybody in this place has a calling on their life. There's somebody outside them doors, I guarantee you, that only you can reach. God has called you to reach this world. 200 and some million people in America that's not in church today. You have a calling on your life. Listen, salvation's not a retirement plan, right? Man, I said by 55 I was going to be fully retired, so I was hoping by 55 I could get into ministry, I'd be retired, you know what I mean? But God revealed to me last night, salvation is not a retirement plan. Listen, it's not a get-rich scheme. Salvation is a call to action. Right? Whenever I become saved, freely I received. So now freely I have to give. See, this gift that I've been given, if I believe what the word says, freely I have to give. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork." You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. There's that works again. Seems like a lot of work to being a Christian. Which God prepared for us in advance. I was thinking this morning, this is one of the things that popped in my head this morning as I was laying there throughout that 8 hours. I don't know what part of the message it was in, so I'm not real sure what part of the message we're in. But God showed me this picture of this bird. I've got this fan on my back patio, and it looks over my outdoor grill, and I use it to blow the smoke out from underneath my patio. Well, some bird decides to build a nest right on top of it. So if I turn the fan on, we get steaks with feathers on it. Not good. I don't mind. My wife doesn't like it, so I decided not to use it. No, just joking. But every year for the last 2 years, and the bird's working on this nest again, for the last 2 years, these birds will build this nest. They'll lay these eggs in this nest, and they'll nestle these eggs, and they'll make sure that they're warm, perfect temperature, so that that bird can be created. See, when that bird comes into this world, when that little bird shows up, it has everything almost that it needs to fulfill its destiny. It's got wings. Some of them have feathers within a few days anyway. And you know what? Before long, that bird's got to go, right? At some point, that mama kicks that bird out of the nest. You know why? If that bird stays in there long enough, some snake's going to come up in there and snatch it out of there. But if that bird decides to leave that nest and spread its wings and fly, can you imagine what it would be like to soar above the ground? The beauty that would be entailed in that, or the enjoyment or the fulfillment that that bird feels when it first leaves that nest, not knowing if it's going to make it. And here's what I think God showed me this morning with that. That bird was created with wings. It took it a little while to stay in that nest, right, to stay in there in the safety of that nest. But there come a point in time that that bird would die if it didn't leave that nest. Listen, as Christians, when you were born, this right here says that God created you. You're God's handiwork. God created you for a work from the very beginning. When you were born, you were created for a work. You may not have had the feathers on your wings to jump out of that nest and fly, but I'm telling you right now, you stay inside this nest and you don't do what God created you to do, be careful. I'm telling you, Satan's going to come up and snatch you up out of here. Not literally, but I'm telling you, by not fulfilling that call on your life. I know you say, how do you say that stuff, John? Because I am that guy. Right? I've been that guy that sat right here in this pew or in this chair. And I've sat there and I've like, well, we got a paid minister. Let him do it all. Right? You can do it. That's what God called you to do. He didn't call me to do that. Maybe he called Miss Jill to do that. He didn't call me. I'm not getting paid. And the longer I sat in there, the more destruction I walked into. Listen, if I'd have never spread my wings and jumped out of that nest, I was scared to death when I jumped out of that nest. I'd have never got to receive the fulfillment that God gives me on a daily basis because I choose to step into his will for my life. Why? So many resources inside this church. Man, the talent, the ability. Even if you don't have talent, you know what God told the disciples? He said, don't worry about it. If they get you, don't worry about what you're going to say to them. I'll tell you what to say. The Holy Spirit will be there to tell you what to say. And like I've told you before, it doesn't matter. Maybe you don't have the ability to stand up and speak. I've said some of the dumbest things and people's got saved. Right? You get the Holy Spirit on your side and you're walking in the will of God, it doesn't matter what you say. Oh, well, maybe at times. I'm just saying, if your heart's in the right spot and you're loving because that's what Jesus would have done, you're going to make an impact. Listen, they turned to the trees for help. A people left without a proper depiction of Christ will become deceived and turn to the trees. Where's that deception come from, right? I oftentimes put it on media and Facebook and all this stuff. Here's what I've learned since I've been doing outreach at the skating rink. Kids tell me they hate God. Hate God. You know what I found out over the year and whatever months that we've been doing that is people don't hate God. They hate the picture of God that Christians have painted. Right? Because the God that I know, the God that shows grace and mercy on my life, the God that's forgiven me, there's no way I could hate this God. This is an amazing God. This God loves everybody that's out there. That 200 and whatever million people that's outside of these doors, that's who God come to die for. Listen to what James 3 says, starting with verse 9. It says this. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. Man, I've done this so much in my life. God forgive me. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Man, I've been so guilty of that in my life. Listen, if that doesn't pertain to you, stick your hand up, high five. If you've never stood in this church and worshiped our God and our Savior and then walked outside it, listen, it doesn't differentiate from the people that you like and the people that you hate. It doesn't say that God only created some people in his likeness. It says he created all people in his likeness. So if I walk outside these doors and I use my mouth and I worship my God and I walk outside these doors and I curse somebody because of something that I don't like, maybe it's the government, maybe it's our president, maybe it's the news media, maybe it's, let me tell you something, every one of those people were created for a purpose. They have a call on their life. Maybe they turn to the trees. Listen, those that have the life-giving water oftentimes don't give it. Right? That's been me most of my life. Me, myself, and I. And Jessica. I put Jessica in there. She's my wife. She's pretty, too. Me, myself, and I. Why? If I have this life-giving water, and I know there's so many people out there that need it, why don't I give it? Listen, we're the body of Christ. Pastor Jeff brought this out in our volunteer recognition dinner the other day, which is why I'm wearing this shirt. This is in honor of our guest speaker that called me out and said, hey, that weird guy back there wearing the plaid shirt. So if you're watching, let me get over here where you can see me. I've got my plaid shirt on, weird guy. Listen, we're the body of Christ, right? It said in the beginning was God, or was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? You know how much destruction took place since the beginning of time? Half of the world was wiped out, or I say half of the world, all the world was wiped out except for a few lucky souls on a boat. That's with the Word of God in existence. Listen, but it says that Jesus came so that the Word would become flesh. Right? We got the Word here, now we got the flesh, and Jesus acts on the Word. Jesus becomes the Word in the flesh. The actions begin to change lives, and His actions changed the entire world. Made it so that you, so that I, so that everybody in here could sit with Him in heaven and dine with Him. As Christians, when you act on the Word of God, you put actions with that knowledge that you have on this Word of God. Listen, you literally become the Word in the flesh. I'm not saying you become Jesus. I'm just saying you become the Word in the flesh. See, the Word without action, I don't know that that's faith at all, is what the Bible says, right? If I believe in the Bible and I believe what it says and I don't put actions with it, that knowledge becomes powerless. But the minute I put action to it, the minute that Christ begins to work through me and I become His hands and feet, the Word becomes flesh. It becomes a real tangible object. Listen, our knowledge without action is foolishness. Wisdom is acting on our knowledge. James 2:26 says this, a body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. I'll give you an example of that. How much time I got? Man, I'm doing good. I got 20 minutes left back here on that thing. 19. Pastor Jeff comes in and he says, hey, John, I need you to go spread the word. Church is on fire. And if you don't, I know you don't see the smoke and I know you don't see the flames, but if you don't gather everybody up and get out, they're going to die. And I come running in here and I say, hey, listen to me. Church is on fire. You guys got to get out of this place. And when you see the smoke and the flames, it's too late. You're not going to make it. Y'all go ahead. Get on out of here. Nobody's going to believe me, right? One, either I'm an idiot or I don't believe this guy. Because if I do believe him and I don't take action, I'm a bonehead. Let me tell you about a little girl at the skating rink. She come up to me one day. We had an altar call at the skating rink, and she'd give her heart to God. Cute little thing. She's, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, somewhere in there. And we're sending everybody out, and she's standing kind of in the entryway of the skating rink, and she's standing there, and she's real shy, and she's standing over here in the corner like this, and I'm praying with somebody else, and I look over at her, and she catches my eye, and I said, "Do you need something?" And she goes, "Yeah." And so I come up to her, and I said, "Well, can I pray with you, or do you have something that you need, or, you know, what is it?" And she says, "Well, I'm a little bit afraid to tell you. I'm embarrassed." And I said, "Well, it's okay. You don't have to tell me. I'll just pray with you." And she says this. She goes, "I want to go to church so bad." She says, "But I'll never get to go to church." I said, "Well, how come?" I said, "We can come get you," or whatever. She goes, "No, you don't understand. My dad hates God. Never going to get to come to church." Listen, she lives so close to so many churches. Lives close to this church. But she may never get to know the amazing people inside the church if the church doesn't go to her. Listen, church, God didn't save you and equip you to watch people die and go to hell outside these walls. And I'm not saying this is for everybody, right? I lived this life. I'm the guy that sat there for 30-some years, most of my life. Pastor Jeff and Jill, they've been doing this ministry just down the street. Amazing. So they see the value and the need to walk outside these doors and to minister outside these doors. They don't get paid any. Do you get paid any extra? I'm on the board, and I didn't know anything about it if you do. So they don't get paid any extra to go do that. But when I see people walk into this church and get baptized because somebody decided to step out of their comfort zone and walk out and minister outside these doors, they give their heart back to Christ because of what you guys did. Man, I know that God's sitting up there giving them a hand. That's why God created them, was to reach the lost that's out there. Man, she wants to be a part of you so bad. You know what's funny? I say it's funny. It's really sad. Sorry, I snorted in the microphone. I did that. I was going to bring some traffic cones today. I was going to set one here and one there. If you guys ever watch this on Facebook, it's like out of the picture, in the picture, out of the picture, in the picture. So I was going to try to stay within this, but I failed at that. I was going to say something before I snorted in the microphone and my daughter laughed at me. So I'll move on. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Whew! Squirrel again. So in that skating rink, there will be an average of, I don't know, 150, could be upwards of 350 kids show up to the skating rink. If it was two kids, it would be worth it, first of all. But I try to make my way around and talk to all of them. There's no way I can reach all of them or talk to all of them on my own. But as I begin to talk to them, it's a consensus amongst most all of them that church and Christians aren't a good thing. Right? It's not till they see the love, the actual portrait of Christ, the love in you, the love in me, the love in our pastor, that they begin to get this natural picture of who Christ is. And because Christ is so amazing, then you don't have to do no work. It naturally draws them to Him. Yeah. Right. What would Jesus do? In memory of our speaker, I made up some fake news. Of our last speaker in the volunteer. You know him, the guy that called me weird? Lucas Ross, right? Yeah. Friday, April 24th, 2022. James died and went to hell 300 yards west of Bethel Church, Choctaw. I interviewed Jesus of Nazareth, and here's what he had to say. With tears in his eyes, he says, "It was so needless. What a shame. It didn't have to happen," Jesus said, the Savior of this world, who hung on the cross to recover the body. They had emergency water right there. I would have gave him a drink. Listen, church, you have what they need. Everybody in this place has what they need to reach a world that's going to die and go to hell, literally, within arm's reach of churches everywhere. This is where the why question comes from. Why would so many people die and go to hell when they live in a city, in a country that is littered with so many Bibles, with so many churches, with so many good Christian people? You have what they need. You guys stand with me if you would. Just for the record, I did have some warm and fuzzy stuff in here, but when I realized the time, I took it out. So, listen, church, this isn't a condemning message. I'm hoping that this is an empowering message, a call to action. Listen, we have some amazing ministries that go on inside this church. We have some amazing people that reach out to the lost. I'm sure there's stories all over this church that we never hear about that happen outside the church walls. But one of the studies that I read said that the church has declined about 25% over the last, I think it was 5 years. It said that when nations become more wealthy, they tend to go south away from Christianity. I think it was in 95, about 85% of Americans confessed to be Christians, based on this study. Today, it's, if I remember right, it was less than 60%. I want you to look at our world that we live in. We have everything that we need. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my entire life. I don't need an outside source to give me water. But in reality, that's looking to the trees. I need a Savior to sustain me. You need a Savior to sustain you. More than that, they need a Savior. Listen, if you would bow your eyes and or close your eyes and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, dear God, I love you with every ounce of my being. God, I praise you for everything that you've done in my life. God, I thank you for the mercy and grace that you've shown on me. God, I want to pray over this church right now, an empowering prayer. An anointing that is so strong they can't help but to get it out. God, help them to experience that fulfillment that you only receive whenever you're working in your ministry, dear God, when you're working in your calling, when we're working in the will that you have for us. No matter what that ministry is, God, I pray that you anoint them. God, we want to thank you right now for the good fruits that we're seeing produced. God, I thank you for those that are coming to know Christ because of this church. God, I pray that you empower us to reach those that are outside these walls. Listen, if you're in here today, and you say, John, you talk about this living water, this water that the Bible says that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst. See, I often drank of this water of self-fulfillment, and I would often thirst after something else, and that's what led me down this path of sin. But there's a water, there's a Savior that he says that if you drink of this water, you will never thirst. It's a fulfillment that I have yet to, has yet to get old to me. I desire it as much today as I did the first time I experienced it. Listen, maybe you don't have a relationship with God and you don't understand what I'm talking about, but you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart today. And you want to experience that relationship with Christ. I want you to raise your hand right now.